We need to understand what AI is, and then we can make better decisions about it. It's not neutral. It comes with built-in bias. It comes with, with a worldview that may be different than ours. Not all AI is created equal. They've all been trained on data, and they've all been trained, a little bit differently. Some of the models, they're actually being trained on the internet and places like Reddit. So I don't know that that's where I want to go for biblical truth. The internet is being flooded with all of this fake content. We're going to question things that are really real, and we're going to accept things that are not real if we do not have that discernment.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. It's a delight to be here with you today. And today's episode is on something a little bit different. I've actually talked about this subject before, but it's important that we keep on talking about artificial intelligence. And why does that even matter pertaining our health and our well-being? Well, it does. Trust me, it does. It affects our soul. It affects our health. It affects our mental health, our emotional health, our relationships. AI is making an impact. It's here to stay. And we need to know what to do as followers of Christ. And so I've had Misty Philip on before with her first book, but she has a new book out, and it's called The Trojan Horse of the Digital Age. And this book sounds the alarm on one of the most significant culture shifts of our time. With the expertise of a cybersecurity executive and the heart of a Bible teacher, Misty Philip reveals how artificial intelligence carries embedded values, shapes worldviews, and it's already discipling the next generation. It's not a book about fearing technology. It's a biblical framework for engaging it with wisdom. And so that's what we need. We need to know how to talk about AI, how to engage with it with discernment and with wisdom. And so Misty is an award-winning author, cybersecurity professional, and she's a dynamic speaker who bridges the gap between faith and technology. As COO of Trilogy Works, a boutique advisory services firm specializing in cybersecurity and AI, Misty works daily at the cutting edge of artificial intelligence, and she offers readers and audiences a rare perspective, someone who understands both the technical realities and the theological implications of our digital age. She's written several books before. She's written The Struggle is Real, But So is God, Spark Your Influence, Upskill or Die, and now this new book. So I'm so excited to bring her on. I know you're going to benefit from this interview. Again, it's not a typical interview that I would have, but it's important that we have these discussions because people's health literally is being affected. Not all negative, but also some positive ways, but their health is being affected by AI. So it's important to have these conversations. Enjoy the show, and I look forward to hearing from you and your thoughts on it. Hey, Misty, welcome back to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Hey, Wendy, you are one of my favorite people on the planet. So it is a pleasure to be here with you.
Likewise, sister. And you have written another book. And so it's so exciting, but I think when I first had you on, I mean, I know we talked about your first book, Upskill or Die, but prior to that, maybe this is the third time. I don't even know, because with Spark Media, you had your other book, The Struggle is Real, and then with the podcast. And anyway, I've had you on numerous times. It's so fun. But you've transitioned away from Spark Media, and now you're working alongside your honey, your husband,
yes,
in cybersecurity in AI at Trilogy Works. And so I'm just curious, what has that transition been like for you? Because that's like a totally different experience.
It's a completely different experience. And at first, I didn't know what to do or where I fit. And I'm not technical at all. And
I disagree. Yes, you are actually.
Well, I'm not in comparison to people, you know, like Peter, who's been in technology his entire career. Right. And so it was a really big transition for me. So I reverted back to doing what I know to do, which is writing and speaking and podcasting. So that's when we wrote the book Upskill or Die, which helped me become an authority in the tech space. So people, you know, could understand that I'm not just a podcast host or this, you know, entrepreneur, that I have some technical expertise and used my husband's technical expertise to help me. But I saw two problems. One, I started doubling down on AI because that was more of a level playing field. Because all these tech people talk in acronyms. I had to like make a dictionary because I didn't even know what they were talking about.
It's like in the health space too sometimes, right?
Yes. Yeah. So many acronyms. And so I was like, look, I'm just going to learn. I'm not going to learn all of technology. I'm going to focus in on cybersecurity and AI. And there's a lot of tech people who've been in tech for a long time that they don't even know as much as I know about AI now, which is really kind of interesting. Never wanted to be the AI person, just like I never wanted to be the podcast person. But God has a really interesting way of weaving our story. So the first book that I knew we needed to write was Upskill or Die, because I saw how AI is going to take jobs away. And I wanted people to be prepared, especially my friends who are sending their kids to college, that degree may be worthless, right?
Right.
To invest all that money in a degree that that may not be worth it. And so for people in the job, currently in the job market too, that want to hold on to their jobs, they need to have a growth, you know, mentality. They need to learn about this technology, understand it, and understand how they can incorporate that into their current role. And those will be the people that keep their jobs. But that was only part of the story. The rest of the story were my thoughts as a mom, my concerns, and also just as a believer, knowing what the Bible says about the days that we're living in, and then seeing this technology come in, because I think the Christian camp is very divided. People are either, it's evil, stay away from it, or I love this technology, it's amazing. And I think the tension is somewhere in the middle, where God calls us to not to have a spirit of fear. And people oftentimes are afraid of what they don't know. So I believe that we need to understand what AI is, and then we can make better decisions about it.
That's so true. Well, it has led you, your passion and just your concern for the church regarding AI has led you to your new book called The Trojan Horse of the Digital Age, Why Christians Must Discern AI. And so what is the Trojan Horse of the Digital Age? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the Trojan horse is our acceptance of this new technology without asking what's inside. So if you think back to the story of the Trojans, you know, they had this horse, they accepted it as a gift, and then in the middle of the night, they were slaughtered, right?
Right. So hiding inside the horse. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is hiding inside this digital horse? What do we need to be asking questions about? What it possibly, you know, could be hidden inside this horse. So for one thing, I think about the worldview of the people that create it, right? There's a reason that they've created it, which is not just for ease and productivity for us. So kind of going behind the scenes, what is their agenda? It's not a biblical worldview. So we have to understand that it's not, this tool does not have a soul. It's a tool, right? Just like anything. It's like social media. It's like the internet. It's like a hammer. I mean, you know, everything can be used by both good people and bad people as a tool. And this is another tool, but it's not neutral. It comes with built-in bias. It comes with a worldview that may be different than ours. So we need to ask questions about you know, what ultimately, what is the goal of the makers of this tool, and what is our part to play in it? And I think that we need to be responsible in terms of our use of it, because there are some really great things that we can do with it, but there's also, you know, some negative things as well.
Yeah. And, you know, AI has hallucinations where it's not always accurate. And if you're relying on AI and it's telling you, you know, whatever, the sun is the moon, and you're writing that out in your report or whatever it is, you're just putting your fate into a machine that doesn't have all the answers. We just have been deceived to think that it does. And so I think people are seeing it more as a shortcut and that it has all truth, but it doesn't. Even when it comes to biblical history and that kind of thing, which is interesting because it's just a data collector. It collects everything and
That's
then
right.
spits out based on your question. And if you didn't question, you know, properly, then it's going to spit out an answer that may not be accurate. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because I know people are using it for writing books, sermons. I mean, there's all kinds of things where the flock is being led astray.
And
you know, they may not be realized at that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So not all AI is created equal. I want to start there because I think that there's huge differences in, like, let's say the ChatGPT model and the Grok model or the Claude model or the Gemini or Perplexity. They've all been trained on data and they've all been trained, you know, a little bit differently. Some of the models, they're actually being trained on the internet and places like Reddit. So I don't know that that's where I want to go for biblical truth, right?
No.
So the reason that it hallucinates is if it doesn't have it's a predictive language. So based on what you have typed in, it is predicting the answer that you want based on this pool of knowledge that's been fed into it. And so it assumes that this is the answer that you want. And if it can't provide you the answer, then it makes something up. And that's what a hallucination is. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. If you are using it to do anything that requires any kind of accuracy, then you need to double check and make sure that it's providing you with the right answer. So I know that lawyers have used it to cite cases, and it's been the wrong case that they have cited because they didn't double check or they didn't have a domain understanding of that knowledge in the first place. And so for somebody who has a really strong domain knowledge in an area, they can use it as a productivity tool or a shortcut, right? But you have to have that knowledge first because you have to be able to know what it's talking about, right? And and you mentioned pastors and churches, and that's something that concerns me because
me too.
I don't know about you, but I don't want my pastor going to ChatGPT asking Chat to write the sermon of the week, right?
No.
Because that comes from the Holy Spirit and that comes from discernment and that comes from time in the Word and that comes from being inspired by the Holy Spirit. It also comes from knowing the flock and knowing the needs of the people and what they need in that season, in season and out of season. And that the ChatGPT can write a sermon, but there's no Holy Spirit in that, right?
That's right. That's right. I wonder what the percentage is of pastors that are using AI to write their sermons. I mean, ask Chat. I'm just kidding. It'll probably give us a hallucination, but I'm just curious. Like, that would be an interesting thing to see.
I put a study in the book that was done by Barna and Glue, and it's interesting because, you know, the lauded pastors don't want to touch it, you know, and then there's other pastors that are really gung-ho about it. But the sad part is Barna's done a lot of research, and there's pastors that don't even have a biblical worldview, right? But here's the thing. The Lord warned us that these times would come when men would be lovers of themselves and they would want to hear what's tickling their ears. And a lot of churches have become businesses and they're more you know, they're more concerned about getting people in the church and getting money to cover all of the expenses than they are shepherding the people. And that's why I think this message is so important, because I wrote a chapter specifically to pastors. Mm-hmm. Pastors must lead their congregations well through this AI moment, because a lot of the times the church is far behind the world. And this is not a moment that we can sit out on and sit on the sidelines, because it's here. It's happening whether we like it or not, right?
Yeah.
And even the people that say, I'm not going to have anything to do with it, you're still, AI is in everything, from the maps you use on your car to your to the Netflix suggestions. All of that machine learning is built into all of that. And so they're the algorithms on social media, or even when you go to search for something, now that is all AI. So we can't get away from it.
The discernment is vital. And so I'm thinking about that, because I think of some of these Instagram accounts that are all AI, and people have been liking them and following them and quoting them, and it's not even a real person, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really hard to tell. I mean, you have to really look. Like, it's so, so close. And so what would you say to somebody listening that maybe their kids are dabbling with AI, or they are? And again, AI is not all bad. It can be a great tool, and I use it on some levels as well. But ultimately, when there's that close of being exact, and you can't even tell the difference, what do you tell somebody? Like, this is I was really trying to see that this is AI versus a human on one of these Instagram accounts, and I could not tell. Like, there wasn't like an extra finger. There wasn't like, you know, anything like that. You know, AI has gotten that good at mimicking.
It really has. So back when it came on in the scene and the generative AI in like 2023, even 2024, like, there was this uncanny valley feeling. You could tell this is not real. This is not right. Six fingers, all the things, but it has gotten so good. And the deep fakes are what concerns me. So anybody can take your likeness, your face, your voice, and make it say anything, and we will not be able to tell. And that's really one of the reasons that drove me to write this book, is that we have to be in the Word of God, and we have to be led by the voice of the Holy Spirit in this hour for us to know what is real and what is not. Because the internet is being flooded with all of this fake content. Yeah. And I had this thought a few weeks ago. I was like, what is the original temptation, which is, did God really say, like, is that what God really said? And so people are going to start questioning, like, even if they see a preacher who's saying something, they go, is that really right? Is that really, so we're going to question things that are really real. And we're going to accept things that are not real if we do not have that discernment piece. And even then, we can be fooled. And so we really need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and be walking with the Lord in order to navigate the days that we are living in.
For sure. And that's why it's so important too for a family to have like a certain code word or something like that when there's an audio, you know, someone calls you and it sounds like your mom's voice or your son's voice or whatever it is, and you know that this couldn't be right, and you have a certain code word to kind of differentiate, which is kind of weird to even think that you have to do that, you know?
Right. But you do. I mean, you really do. That's one of the things I talk about in the book, is have a family safe word so that you know. There are so many scams happening right now. For example, somebody scraped our company website, and Ian is now working with us as an AI specialist. And then they sent Peter an email that looked like it was coming from Ian, saying, "Peter, can you please transfer my bank deposit into this thing?" And first of all, Ian would never send an email to his dad and say, "Peter."
Right.
But, you know, it's getting so good, those kind of scams out there. So we really have to be diligent, and we've got to be vigilant.
And that's why it's so important, Misty, that we are more face-to-face than ever before, as opposed to being caught up in your home and just, you know, shutting everything and everyone out. We have to be face-to-face, have conversations, be in church, be with the family. And that way you can see for yourself that that person is actually speaking to you. You know what I mean? And we strengthen one another when we're together.
That's absolutely right. That's why Hebrews talks about do not forsake the assembly of believers, all the more as you see the day drawing near. And yes. I think that the more and more our world becomes digital, I think the enemy would like to isolate us, to keep us in our homes, to keep us away from one another. You know, we saw that through, you know, 2020, where we were distanced and our mouths were covered and we were just away from one another.
It was a trial run.
Yeah. And and what that caused is a lot of fear in people. Yeah. And one of the frameworks that I use for this book is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. If we can address AI through that lens, we don't have to be afraid of it, but we do need to use a sound mind and to use wisdom. But I love that you said that we need to get together. I think also, you know, I try to take a couple mile walk every day and get out in nature, like
be
outside, get that sunlight on your face, right? Yes. Get out there, exercise your body, move your body, right? We don't need to be huddled up in our houses, just on our devices all the time. So
we weren't wired for that. God did not wire us to be on screens all the time. I mean, I actually have a setting on my phone. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm just so passionate about, like, get off the screens. I have a setting on my phone that is like a timer for Instagram. Like, it'll tell me, okay, time's up. And so I just, like, shut it down. And it's amazing. Like, I'm like, what? Already? I've already been on it that long? You know, and it's not like a long time, but it's like, wow, okay, that 30 minutes is up. And I'm like, wow, I had no idea. I've spent like a second here, a second there, but it's added up to, you know, that 30 minutes or whatever. So we need to put parameters around our screen time, because you get sucked in and don't even realize it.
Absolutely. And I think having parameters and boundaries too around our AI use, because I've seen it become a little bit addictive. And there, some of the negative things, like I just saw this week, and this is, so if you take someone that has mental illness, right, and then you couple that with AI, I saw a lady in a wedding dress with her phone right here saying her vows to an AI chatbot, basically. So there are restaurants in New York that are set up to bring your AI companion, whether it's a pad or a phone.
And to try to normalize it.
Now, I also saw yesterday where all these people have all these women that don't want to have a man have pre-ordered all these robots. I'm like, people, we need people, right? We need to put the devices away. But you're right. There's this narrative that's being pushed that is normalizing all of that, when that's not the way God created us. God created us to be in community with one another. And it's that iron that sharpens iron. It's all the pieces of the body working together for the good of humanity.
Yes. And I have heard of people using it as like a therapist, and the information that it's giving them is like, whoa. And it's from a Christian point of view. Okay. So it's really interesting how it spits back, based on the questions or the input you put into it. And it just sounds so like good. Like, it's so deceptive, right? Like encouraging maybe a divorce, or encouraging and all the reasons why it makes sense for that to happen because of the input that you put in, basically. And so it justifies your decision. Anyway, it's just interesting. Or suicidal thoughts, right? We've heard that happening with AI. So what is your take on all of that? Is it, 'cause I think about children that have this tool in their hands, and if they're being bullied, they're having a tough go at it. And what would you say to parents about that?
Yeah. So I wrote a whole chapter in the book to parents too, because that is my other concern is, you know, imagine a young girl who is struggling with, am I pretty? You know, I'm having a problem with my friends at school. And she starts talking to an AI agent instead of talking to her parents, or talking to a teacher, or talking to a friend, right? So I think anytime we are replacing that AI with what a human should do, if you are struggling, if you need help, you should be going to the people around you for help. Yes. You should not be going to an AI. I think AI
is even
great.
Google or TikTok. Let's get real. So many are just going there.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. So I think that's why parents need to be educated. They need to know what access that their kids have to AI and how they're using it. One of the resources that I developed was dinner time table conversations. And if you don't have dinner at the table, which I highly recommend that you do because it's the best time to spend with your family. But if you're on the go, you can grab these cards, you can take them and talk about them when you're in the car on the way to whatever practice you're going to or picking up from school. Just making sure that you're using these cards for open-ended dialogue with your kids, not from a place of accusation or, you know, condemning or
but
find out. Yeah. Where do you go when you struggle with something? Where do you go to get answers? And then just opening that conversation up. And I've paired each one of the topics with a scripture. And I think the more that we are rooted and grounded in scripture, the more that we'll be able to make wise choices.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, many of us are using AI without even realizing it. And I mean, I know I've got a Whoop band. You look at Apple Watches, Whoop bands, Oura Rings, whatever that you're using. Yeah, see, there we go. Different fitness apps and health trackers. It's AI. So I think in this sense, AI is really good. Or I think about how AI can read a diagnostic like so quick and it's better than the naked eye so often. So with these technicians that are typically just used to seeing certain things on when they're reading a scan, AI can collect all the scans that have been read and can kind of hone in and get more, even more precise. And so let's talk a little bit about AI as a positive tool. And because right now we've been pretty tough on it.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that that's a really good differentiation. So like use AI as a tool, as a resource, not something that you would normally use that you would normally do with humans. Right. But for example, my son, Ian, just created his own. So he's been using Claude Code, which is part of the Claude suite by Anthropic. And it's our actually preferred AI that we use in the Philip household. And we use all aspects of it.
And why is that?
Because it's not the answers that it tends to give us, I think, are better. It tends to not be political in its answers, where when I was first using ChatGPT, everything came from a very liberal ideology, which doesn't match up with our conservative values. And so we kind of switched because Claude was not providing that. And then it also has the ability for people to code that don't even have any coding experience. So Ian's never been trained. He is Peter Phillips' son, who is my husband's very technical for those who don't know. But, and he's very smart, but he's been able to use this tool. I think this is his sixth app that he's created. So they're in the process of getting in the app store now, where it used to take thousands of dollars, development teams, all these things to get apps in the store.
I know, because I used to have an app.
He the other day was like, Mom, I'm going to build my own fitness tracker that tracks the things that I want. So he's got all of his exercises in there. And then he can, and he's gamified it. So like when he's done his exercises, you know, it gives him a badge or it gives him a thing. So it helps him. And it would have taken so much time, money, energy to create that. And now we're going to move into a place where everybody's going to be able to With the democratization of information and the ability to use these tools, we'll be able to create our own apps for anything that we want, which is kind of cool to think that somebody like you or me that, you know, would never have made an app before gets an idea and we can make it an app that becomes something that will help us.
Well, so even just something simple, Misty, like, you know, a favorite recipes app and the, you know, the grocery list. And I mean, just things that maybe you are using often, and this app can help you do it quicker, you know, as far as figuring out what you need for that recipe or, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. And then it's personalized.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the things that Ian made another app called Hearth. And it's like a home management. It's got the grocery list in there, all of those kind of things. So it's been really interesting. Like with the workout app, he's been able to program music in there and all kinds of things. So in terms of that, it's pretty fun what you're able to do. But going back to the medical research kind of question, last week I was in Washington, D.C. at the Women in Cybersecurity Conference, and there were employees from Claude there, and I got to meet with their people, and they were really excited because they're really promoting like life and health and working with medical people for breakthroughs. They said what is going to be coming down the pipe is going to be really, really cool. And you're right, like something that a doctor might miss just by looking at the scan, because there's the precision. What AI is really good at is looking at information and pattern recognition. And so it can see, you know, something that we may not be able to see. So I think that there are some really exciting advances in medicine. And I'll be excited to see, you know, maybe we'll actually get a cure for cancer. And
That's the kind of stuff that gets me jazzed up about AI personally, because, you know, AI doesn't get tired. So you have a technician that's tired one day and is, you know, looking at a scan and misses something that's really important. AI is not going to miss it, and you're going to be able to catch it. And that means, you know, greater longevity for you because you got to the issue at a quicker time. So I just think there's really good things on the health forefront of this, but what does that look like? And we also need to be discerning in that as well, because we can give so much information. And, you know, I think about DNA, and anyway, there's just other aspects of it that I'm like, ooh, we need to be discerning, right?
That's right.
So, well, I'm thrilled that you wrote this book, and I love your heart behind it. And I know you really want the church to just wake up and just be aware and not be afraid. And so what would you say to somebody right now that's like, you know what, I haven't really even considered AI much. I mean, should I start kind of dabbling, and where would you tell them to dabble first, so to speak? That would be a help.
Yeah. So I say, do not have a spirit of fear. I think Claude is a great product that is built by Anthropic. You can get in there and have it make you a meal plan for the week. That's one of the things that my husband.
Or just go to my website and you can have one at my website for free.
There you go.
But no, but I do love that, because then you can curate it to what kind of ingredients and food that you like and your family likes, right? It's not so generic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Peter's on a keto diet right now. So Peter's gone into ketosis and he's doing keto, which works really well for him. Mm-hmm. But he'll go where he won't even eat enough carbs. And so I kind of get tired and run out of ideas and want to make sure I'm giving him some healthy, vegetables
counterbalance.
Yes, counterbalance. Yeah. There you go. The protein and the fats, and so trying to do that. So that's been super helpful. But yeah, just get in there, play with it. Do not be afraid, but mostly stay in the Word of God.
Yes.
Yes. Daily walk with the Lord, yes, so that you can know whether you are to go to the left or to the right. Use AI and use it responsibly. Don't outsource your brain to it. Don't outsource your creativity. Don't outsource your thinking to it. Use it as a helpful tool. Don't use it for the things that you need to go to humans for, and keep that human aspect. And keep humans in your life and keep gathering together. Those things are just the most important.
Yeah. Relationships matter. Well, I love this. Yes. Well, where can people go and get your new book, The Trojan Horse of the Digital Age, Why Christians Must Discern AI? Where do they go to get that?
Yeah. So it's available on Amazon, but I would encourage them to go to my website at mistyphillip.com because I have created several free resources. One, I've created a Bible study curriculum for them to do in a small group. My heart is really that people would get the book in their small group, that they would start wrestling with these questions together. I've created that those cards, those conversation cards, an AI checklist for the people that think that they are not really sure how much AI they're actually using. And then I created a list of questions, whether it's AI or any other technology, what questions should we be asking before we proceed with it? And so I would love for them to have those free resources and get the book and grab some friends and get in a small group and start talking about it.
I love it. I love it. It sounds so thorough. And I'm glad you thought over and beyond just the book so that people could have these free resources in hand. So thank you, Misty. I love you dearly. And I love what you're doing. Keep pressing in and on because, man, we just really need this information. And I'm sure you're going to have another book in you after this.
All right.
Blessings, friend. Thank you. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.